As we come to the Word of God, we will afresh look to the Lord, that the Lord will break to us the bread of life and feed us with food convenient. Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so conscious that we are leaking vessels. We constantly need renewed, replenished, revived. And we pray that this night the word of the Lord will come with power. It will come with blessing. It will be as thus and as thus saith the Lord. O meet with our hearts around thy word. Lead us on, those of us who are twice born. Lead us on with thee so that we will truly know God. And we pray, if any are strangers to grace and to God, Lord, turn their footsteps to wisdom's ways, the way of peace with God through Christ's shed blood. Be with us now, we pray. We ask it in our Savior's worthy name. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 3. And speaking of wisdom, in the verse 17, Solomon says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. The book of Proverbs sets a high price on wisdom. It informs us that wisdom is better. It is more precious than rubies. We are told that nothing can stand in comparison with wisdom. When Solomon speaks of wisdom, he speaks of godliness. In verse 17, Solomon makes it clear that the ways of godliness are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Solomon's thinking is out of step with society in our day. Like Gallio in Acts chapter 8 and verse 17, multitudes in our time, they care for none of these things. They prefer to leave the things of God, spiritual things, to the side. The world in its blindness reckons that godliness is a gloomy, depressing, and forlorn way. If the truth be told, the opposite is the case. The pleasures so-called of this present evil world, they are deceitful. They are without substance, an empty dream, as unreal as painted fire. It's a slander of the great forger of lies, a deception of the arch deceiver to portray godliness as morbid, as bereft of solid joys and lasting pleasures. Solomon nails the devil's lie in our text, saying the ways of godliness are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths our peace. May our meditation on this proverb help us who are the Lord's to count our blessings. And you who are out in the Vanity Fair of this age, may you be moved to taste and see that the Lord is good. Moved to choose life and flee spiritual death. What are the things that make the way of godliness pleasant and peaceable. There are a number of them that we want to mention. First of all, the counsel in it. Imagine what it would be like traveling through a strange country, and there are no roads or signposts and no GPS as we have been depending on of late. It would be very difficult. How bewildering and confusing it would be. When ships are at sea, there are no millstones to mark the distance. There are no signposts to point out the way. But the captain, he has navigational equipment. And that equipment becomes his guide, the direction, the counsel which the equipment gives to the captain goes a long way to make that journey by sea one of pleasantness. As you and I sail the sea of this life, how great is our need of infallible counsel. We must say of every day of our lives, we have not been this way heretofore. And we need counsel. When Solomon took up the reins of leadership from his father David, he said to the Lord in 1 Kings 3 and verse 7, he said, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. He's a full-grown man. He is of such stature to follow his father David on the throne. And he confesses, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And remember that this is the acknowledgement of the wisest man. I am but a little child. A child is a symbol of weakness and dependence. A child is in need of constant direction and advice, guidance, and counsel. When Samson was born, Manoah, his father, prayed in Judges chapter 13 and verse 12. He made this earnest prayer, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? He was acknowledging his need of the help of the Lord, of counsel in training up his son in the way that he should go. The child needs constant supervision, care, direction, and counsel. And Manoah was burdened to pray for wise counsel as a father. Solomon and Manoah, they both knew their need of counsel, and our need is the same. Today there is a resurgent interest in the occult, in astrology. And why is that? It's because this largely godless day, the people in it, having cut themselves adrift from the things of God, they are looking for counsel, for direction, where it can never be found. You must not turn to such devil-inspired agents. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 29, the prophet can say, "The Lord of hosts is wonderful in counsel." Isaiah 28 and 29. The Lord of hosts is wonderful in counsel. David in Psalm 16 and verse 7, he tells us, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel." When the people of Israel stood on the banks of the Jordan, they were in need of direction. The river was at full spate, and they had not passed this way heretofore. The people were not left to muddle through on their own. They had infallible counsel in God's revealed word. Joshua had this message in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9. He said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." At that critical point, there was a word from God, a word of guidance, of instruction, of direction. Their path was mapped out by the hand of the Lord. It was the right way for them, the way of pleasantness. In Psalm 119 and the verse 24, David confesses, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." He's speaking of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is his delight, and he says that it is my counselors. And in the margin, the rendering is, "the men of my counsel." Earthly delights, David savored many of them, but they could not measure up to this delight of receiving counsel from the Lord. All who are the Lord's, his word is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. The Lord's precepts are the men of our counsel. Our lives are not left to chance, to stumble through. The counsel from the sacred page makes the way of godliness pleasant. May we not turn from the word of the Lord to the right hand or to the left. So, we can say that the way of godliness is pleasant and peaceable because of the counsel in it, and secondly, because of the company in it. Those who walk in wisdom's ways, they have the very best of company. And the company that you and I keep is of great importance. The company that one keeps is very often the making or the breaking of the individual. We are warned in Proverbs 13 and verse 20 that a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. The prodigal in the far country, think of him. He became a companion of fools and was destroyed as a consequence. He got in with the wrong crowd, and he went from bad to worse. The company that he was in pulled his life down and down and down until he came to the place where he was left with nothing. He was at the swine trough. Is there someone here who has become the companion of fools? You're on the slippery slope, already going down. Whatever little interest you had in the things of God, it's shrinking. You're being pulled in the wrong direction, further from God than ever you have been. If you do not take heed to your ways and turn, what destruction you face now in life and throughout eternity. Moses was in wisdom's ways, and he urged his father-in-law in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. He urged Hobah in these words. He said, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Oh, here's company, and it will be to the betterment and to the benefit of this man. Here is the very best of company. Make sure, believer, that your closest friends are of like mind, that they are those who love the Lord. And above all, the Lord himself will be the companion of all those who walk in wisdom's ways. Enoch, he walked with God. It's said of Noah, and what an age indifferent to the things of the Lord it was. An age comparable to our own. The Lord indicates that the days preceding his return will be akin to those of Noah's day. But Enoch and Noah, they had the very best of company. They were walking with God. Two walking together are in each other's company. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14 and the verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That word abode, it has the indication of a permanent place, a permanent company. God the Father, God the Son will company with those who love the Lord and keep his words. John knew something of that when he wrote 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, he speaks of fellowship, and he says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." How pleasant the experience of the two on the way to Emmaus was. When the Lord himself drew near and went with them. When they constrained the Lord to abide with them. Oh, they had heartburn of the right kind. Their hearts burned within them. On the evening of the resurrection, The disciples were huddled together, full of fear, discouraged, despairing. And suddenly the Lord stood in their midst. And John chapter 20 and verse 20 tells us that the Lord showed them his hands and his feet. And then the comment is made, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Pleasantness and peace. The company made all the difference. The companionship of the friend that sticks closer than a brother makes the way of life pleasant. And then wisdom's ways are the ways of pleasantness and peace also because of the provision in it. Those who walk in wisdom's ways have a provision for their wants that never fails. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." What are green pastures? What are still waters if they are not an illustration of our text? When the sheep finds green pastures, it eats till it is full. Then it lies down and chews its cud. A picture of contentment, full satisfaction. The still waters, how consoling, how comforting, soothing they are as they gently pass by. Israel's journey through the wilderness to Canaan was fraught with desolation, danger, death. The Lord's miraculous provision turned the wilderness, into the way of pleasantness. The people were fed with manna from heaven. The people in the wilderness, they ate angels' food. The Lord sent them meat, the flesh of quails. In Psalm 78, the occasion is recalled, and in verse 27, we are told that the Lord rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. The Lord clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink, as out of the great depths. Our Savior could say in John 6 and verse 32, "I am the true bread from heaven." In verse 35 of John 6, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Oh, the Savior is as the fountain of living water. And those who drink from that fountain, they never thirst again. The Lord has promised in his word to supply all our need according to his riches in glory. John Newton, he penned the words, "Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the Scripture assures us, the Lord will provide." Yes, wisdom's ways are the ways of pleasantness and peace because of the provision in it. And then, lastly, we think of the prospect in it. Hundreds of thousands traveled to Switzerland every year to admire its beauty. And traveling through it, they find their ways pleasantness. What prospects are before them? Mountain peaks covered with snow, others carpeted with dark green forest, valleys down the sides of which rivers dash themselves into foam and spray. The prospect in that land varies and changes constantly. The prospect opening up to the Christian's view grows brighter as the days go by. John Bunyan, in the work of Pilgrim's Progress, he portrays Christian reaching an elevated place. It's called the Delectable Mountains, the Pleasant Mountains, and looking through a telescope from those delectable mountains, getting a view of glory. The promises of Scripture are as those pleasant mountains. The closing chapters of Revelation, there we read that heaven is the place where there are no tears to dim the eye. There's no death to bar its joys, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no parting, no curse in heaven, because there is no sin there. And best of all, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. We shall see our Redeemer's face, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, there's a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. Eternal day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. There everlasting spring abides, and never fading flowers. What a prospect. In Proverbs 4, and the verse 18. Proverbs 4 and the verse 18. We're told the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Matthew Henry, the wonderful Bible commentator, as his days on this earth ebb to a close, he said, a life spent in the service of God and in communion with Him is the most pleasant that anyone can live in this world. We say amen to those words. Is this the life you're living? Are you in the way of pleasantness and peace? Proverbs 4 and verse 19 speaks of the way of the wicked, the way of the godless. It is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Oh, that you would come out of your spiritual night, out of the darkness of your natural condition, and come to the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Moses said to his father-in-law, come with us, come to the Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He gives to those that come by the way of his cross, by the way of repentance and faith. He gives abundant life, living water. Oh, call on his name, on the strength of the promise, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May you enter in at the gospel life gate, and then your experience will be this, will be as our text. You'll be in the way of pleasantness, and all your paths will be peace. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts tonight. We'll bow together in prayer. Our loving Father, we do thank thee tonight for the wisdom that flows from the sacred page. We know that if we were left to ourselves, we would err exceedingly. But just as thou didst bring the people through the wilderness by the right way, so all thy ways are right ways. Help us to walk in the light of thy truth. Help us, Lord, to be able to say with the psalmist that thy testimonies are the men of my counsel. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt enable us to hold fast to thy truth and to take to heart every day thy precious word, its light shining on our path. Praise thee for all the provision that we have in God. We know that we are richer more than millionaires, for we have the key to treasures in the sky. It is the Savior. Praise thee for the prospect it opens to our view. We are inheritors of the kingdom of God. We will be with Christ, which is very far better. And we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon those that have not knelt at the cross, who have resisted the call of the gospel. Oh, we pray that hearts will be broken with Holy Ghost conviction and brought to cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And thou art merciful and gracious, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Bless thy word to all who hear, and glorify thyself. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.